Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. I'm Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're talking about Jonah 2 and what do you do when you're slimed?
Got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Okay, welcome back to New Every Day. We're so glad that you've tuned in again. Thank you so much to all of our viewers. Whether you're tuning in on from our website, neweveryday.tv, or maybe you're checking us out on YouTube. Thank you so much for tuning in. We do also appreciate your comments that you leave us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Feel free to check us out there and leave a message for us. We'll be sure to get back to you.
Yep. And the Stitcher app.
And the Stitcher app. So you can now get our podcasts on Stitcher so you can listen to us even without a Wi-Fi connection. Very cool.
Yes.
So Jen,
yes, Carrie,
what do you mean by slime?
When I think of slime, I think in this context that we've been talking about Jonah 2 is twofold. He is inside the belly of a whale,
okay,
or a giant fish, and inside a stomach is
slimy
stuff like acids and whatever,
dead things. Yeah.
So he's covered, literally covered with in slime, gross stuff.
Yeah.
But he's also covered in sin because he's been running from God. So he's dually slimed. And so basically what we want to look at today is we're going to read through Jonah 2, which is his prayer to the Lord as he's been sitting there. And we don't know exactly when he prays this.
Whether it's day 1, 2, or 3?
Yeah. Mm. The fact that we could say it was day 3 and then because he finally repented, realizing God's not going to kill me. Okay, so he finally repents day 3 and God says, okay. Or it could have been day 1 and then, because it is a symbol also of the New Testament when Jesus went and was dead for 3 days and was risen again. So there's a symbolism. Thank you.
I was hoping you were going to make up a word. Jen is really good at making up words. I can't even remember the one you did yesterday, but it was great.
I know. The word that came to mind was symbology.
She's actually really smart.
Symbology could be the right word. It's the right context.
Right. Because Jesus died and was buried.
Yes.
He was in the grave for 3 days and then rose again.
Yes.
And just in the same way, Jonah essentially gets his life back,
yes,
in this chapter after he prays and the fish spews him out.
Yes.
So
why don't we read the chapter and we'll go from there. So this is chapter 2. I'm reading it from the New Century Version, page 1100. Here we go.
Go ahead.
While Jonah was inside the whale, he prayed to the Lord his God and said, "When I was in danger, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Well, I was about to die, so I cried to you, and you heard my voice. You threw me into the sea, down, down into the deep sea. The water was all around me, and your powerful waves flowed over me. I said, 'I was driven out of your presence, but I hope to see your holy temple again.' The waters of the sea closed around my throat. The deep sea was all around me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. When I went down to where the mountains of the sea start to rise, I thought I was locked in this prison forever. But you saved me from the pit of death, my Lord, my God. When my life had almost gone, I remembered the Lord. I prayed to you, and you heard my prayers in your holy temple. People who worship useless idols give up their loyalty to you. But I will praise and thank you while I give sacrifices to you, and I will keep my promises to you. Salvation comes from the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish threw up Jonah onto the dry land.
It vomited Jonah onto dry land.
Is that what you're... Oh.
It says, my version, New King James Version, says that it vomited him up onto dry land.
Mm-hmm.
Something interesting here, Jen, is this is like Jonah's prayer of repentance. He's realizing that God is God.
Yes.
And it's only by his mercy that he's going to live and get out of there.
Yeah.
And in this version says, in verse chapter 2, verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy.
Mm.
And mercy is capitalized in that he's calling God mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.
Hmm.
So he knows that he's only going to be saved by God's hand. Because
yes.
He realizes God spoke to the fish to swallow him up.
Yes, which harkens, what a great New King James word. Harkens to when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. He's saying the same thing that Jonah is saying right here. Salvation only comes from the Lord. And so often, so many people think it's about, you know, being a good person. You know, all ways lead to God. If God is all loving, then all ways should lead to him. And it's very clear here that Jonah is saying that salvation comes from the Lord.
Hmm.
And Jesus echoes that in saying, I am the way. So it's very interesting that Jonah did not turn to another God.
No.
He returned to the Lord Almighty.
Right.
In order to make himself right. And that's, you know, one of the questions that I ask about this text is what makes Jonah think that he could actually talk to God, even though he's run from him, right? He ran away from God. He's caused all this trouble.
Trouble. Take a drink, Jen. He's caused all this trouble.
He's caused all this trouble for other people.
Yeah.
He actually chooses to die, right? He says, pick me up and throw me in.
Yeah. He wasn't counting on God to save him.
He was not. And yet, he turns to God.
Okay.
Something causes him to believe that God's going to listen.
Hmm.
So what is it? What is it that causes Jonah? So Jonah has run,
yeah.
Abdicated, basically says kill him.
Is it desperation then?
That makes him think that God is going to listen to him?
Because who else is he going to talk to in the belly of a fish?
Yeah, it could be desperation. I'm also wondering, and we keep alluding to chapter 4, but he knows that God is merciful.
Yeah. He calls him mercy, right?
Yeah. And the fact that he knows that if he is truly repentant, that God will listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he does remember his character.
Yes. He does know who God is. And that part in James where it says, come near to me and I will come near to you. Like, and throughout, I believe it's the book of Hosea that says, return to me. So I think Jonah is very aware of the Lord's character. And so he says, I'm going to go back to the Lord because he does love me.
Mm-hmm.
He will receive me. Because I think sometimes people think they've done too much. I've done too much. There's no way God could possibly listen to my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the enemy wants to come in and cause all sorts of doubt and condemnation. Well, this is too big. And that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit, actually, where it says he saved me from the pit of death. There is never a time when you cannot come to God. There is never a time. Even if you are covered in slime and in the belly of a whale,
there's still the opportunity.
Yeah.
I always think about the thief on the cross. When Jesus was crucified, it was between two thieves. And the one criminal was kind of mocking him,
mm-hmm.
and saying, if you're God, get us down too, you know, off these crosses. And the other one said, today, he said, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, will you remember me? And Jesus said, when I enter, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Yes.
And he was welcoming that thief in. He had, you know, he had done what he had deserved to get on the cross. He even said so himself, that thief deserved to be there. And he said, but this man, Jesus, does not deserve to be here. Yeah. And that was his moment of repentance, of turning and saying, one, I believe you're God, because he's saying, I know you're not from this world, that there's a kingdom outside of here, so will you let me in?
Yeah.
And even at that last moment, Jesus said yes.
Yeah.
He had no opportunity to earn his way. He had no opportunity to do any kind of righteous act except have faith and believe.
Yeah. Now, you wanted to share a passage from Psalms.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about repentance and how sometimes you just don't have the right words to say.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, King David, who pretty much broke all 10 of the Ten Commandments. Almost.
Yes. Yes.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
He provides a prayer to God in Psalm 51 that I think is a really great model for us to follow. And you can just pray these words right to God using Scripture. And it's actually called a prayer of repentance. And it was to the chief musician. It was a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in and slept with Bathsheba.
Who was another man's wife, which is why you said he broke pretty much.
He broke a lot of laws.
Yes.
But God had mercy on him, and he was repentant. So I encourage you to read through it. Verse 1 and 2 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3 says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. You can't get away from it.
No.
Jonah couldn't get away from it. It was right in front of him.
Yes.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And it goes on to say, verse 10, asking God to reinstate him. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and upon me, and uphold me by your generous spirit. And then it goes on to say what he will do and about how wonderful God is in his mercy. But it gives you the words to say to the Lord.
Yes.
And these are the words from God, so it's perfect to speak his words back to him.
Yes, I totally agree. And the little note that I have written beside the psalm says, the devil's trick is to magnify our sin. We have no problem remembering our sin. And there's Jonah in the belly of the whale. He sees his sin. He knows exactly what got him there. And yet he is crying out to the only one who can forgive him and to rescue him. And that's one of the coolest parts about this story is the fact that God chooses to rescue Jonah. Even though Jonah has totally muffed up everything.
Yeah.
Like, salvation comes from the Lord. It's like he declares it. I can only be saved by you. And I think sometimes we need to claim that too.
Yeah.
Lord, whatever situation we're in, I think we need to claim that. The only way I can get out of this, Lord, is by you. It's this declaring to the heavenlies that God saves.
Yeah.
And then it says, then the Lord spoke to the fish, which I love that line, and the fish threw up or vomited Jonah onto the dry ground. It was just like, God heard Jonah's prayer and spoke to the fish.
And it spit him out.
And it spit him out.
Like, here's your second chance. Blah.
Yeah. And like, God is a God of second chances.
Yes.
And thirds.
And I was going to say, in my life, thirds and fourths and fifths.
Thousands.
Yay, God.
And millionths. And that comes up again and again in the book of Jonah. God is so merciful. He is so merciful. He loves us so much that there, you know, when we genuinely come back to him, and I think I'm just being reminded of that passage in Matthew where it says, how many times must I forgive, right? Peter says that to Jesus. How many times? Like, how many times? Is seven enough? And Jesus is like, no, 70 times seven. So an infinite amount of times. So no matter how many times somebody comes to you, you forgive. And I believe it was a mark of how God forgives us. His forgiveness and mercy are without end. And it's like, because I think sometimes we can get caught up in the fact, and I know I've said it before, but he won't forgive me this time. And that's not true, because sometimes we can get caught up in those habitual sins, right? And it just seems like there's no way out, and God still forgives. Like, God still forgives. And it gets me every time, which is why I have a Kleenex in my hand. But it's like, his mercy overwhelms me. There's a song by Big Daddy Weave called Redeemed.
'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be.
Every time I hear that song, I just get all weepy on the inside, because I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Like, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, who sets us free. And when we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. And it has nothing to do with how good we are.
Right.
And everything to do with how merciful and loving God is.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
yay.
Jesus.
There's a verse in Psalms that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Yeah. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
He is faithful.
He is. And it doesn't matter what pit we're in.
Yeah.
Does not matter what pit we find ourselves in. A pit is a pit.
Is a pit.
And the Lord reaches down. There's no pit too dirty.
Whether that's divorce, or maybe you've just had an abortion.
Yes.
Or maybe you've just left your wife. Or maybe you've just had a fight with your parents. Or maybe you just cheated on a test.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
God is able. My God can meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That isn't just about provision and looking after us. That is about meeting our needs of forgiveness and grace.
Yeah.
And so Jonah recognizes this. He recognizes it. When my life has almost been gone, I remember the Lord. I remember the Lord. So as you said, that criminal on the cross, right?
There's nothing. It's never too late.
It is never, never, never too late. People who worship useless idols give up their loyalty to you. But I will praise and thank you while I give sacrifices to you.
Yeah. After Jesus rose from the dead, he met with the disciples. They were out fishing, and they saw Jesus. It became morning, and they were fishing all night, and they saw Jesus on the shore, and essentially they recognize that it's him. Eventually, Peter jumps in, swims to him. And he made them breakfast.
Yeah.
And he's resurrected, he's risen, and he restores Peter. Mm. So when they had eaten, this is John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. Interesting. Not the same Jonah.
No, but that is.
It is interesting. Do you love me more than these? He said to him. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. And he asked them a second time and a third time, and Peter denied Jesus three times.
Yes.
But Jesus in his grace reinstates Peter. He restores him, restores the relationship, and gives him a job. Like, you're not useless. I'm going to build my church on you.
Yes. And that is what God is doing here. He is giving Jonah a second chance, because he could have left him in the belly of the whale. And God had every right to leave him there. Jonah had repented. At that point, he was at peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
So God could have said, okay, come with me.
Yeah.
And that could have been the end of the story.
Yeah.
But God gives him a second chance. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about repentance and you're done, but it's about repentance and the second chance to do what God has called him to do.
And now obey.
And now obey.
You know, Jen, I was just thinking, it's also healthy to be able to confess our sins to the Lord. We can go right to him. We don't have to go through a priest anymore. Mm-hmm. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple separating the part of the temple where you could be in and the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was in the Old Testament in the temple, there was a thick curtain, like it was inches thick. When Jesus died on the cross, it supernaturally tore, so that it was symbolic in that when you came into the temple, you could be in the presence of God. And it says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we can come because of what Christ has done and have conversation and a relationship with God. But it is healthy sometimes to confess our sin to other people and talk about it. And yes, I know that when, even when I have said things to you, Jen, it's been so restorative.
Yes.
So a great resource is actually Focus on the Family. So focusonthefamily.ca mm-hmm. is the Canadian branch of, it's originally an American organization. Yes. And it is a ministry focused on restoring yeah. families and providing hope, and they also offer counseling. So if you need to talk to a counselor and you can't afford it, they actually offer free counseling, and you can call and make an appointment with them. And I took advantage of this service and it was great. I really benefited from it. So if you want to get in touch with them, you can go to their website, which will be at the bottom of the screen, and you can actually get in contact with a counselor there. They might also help get you in touch with local resources, which is what they did for me, yes. So that you can get connected to a local church or maybe a local counselor.
Yeah. This chapter reminds us that God is a God of second chances. He provides ways out, like whether you call Focus on the Family, which mm-hmm. is a way out of, you know, help me get back, mm-hmm. help me sort through, or whether he puts you in touch with a friend, mm-hmm. or whether you just experience his Holy Spirit lifting that sin off and receiving his forgiveness and his mercy.
Yeah.
God is able to cleanse us of the slime
yeah.
that we find ourselves in and give us a second chance, which is what we're going to touch on for next week.
Perfect.
And so as we bring our time together to a close, we're just going to ask the Lord to remind us of his grace and his mercy, that his Holy Spirit, that you would experience his Holy Spirit drawing near to you in a loving, kind, merciful way, and that you would feel that there is a way out of whatever it is, whatever pit that you find yourselves in today.
Yeah.
There is a way out. God is able to save you. Salvation comes from the Lord.
Yeah. When you turn to him with repentance and faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shall we pray?
Yes.
Lord, salvation comes from you. And we are people who need to be saved in so many different ways. So, Father, we ask through the power of your Holy Spirit that first and foremost for those who do not know you yet, that you would save them from life without you, that you would restore them to relationship with you. And, Lord, for those that know you but are struggling with sin, whether it's habitual or not, Lord, I ask that they would call upon your name and receive your mercy today. Father, we need you. Thank you for rescuing us from the pit. Thank you for giving us second chances. Thank you for your love. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in again. We want to thank Category 5 for hosting. Thank you to Robbie Ferguson, our producer and director. Thank you also to Eco Alkalines. They are the batteries that power our cameras and all the other equipment. So you can check us out on Stitcher, Facebook, or our website, neweveryday.tv. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Next week it is.
Here's to no slime.
No slime.
Slime-free week. Cheers.